Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. 100% engagement.
It's a total disrespect.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
I don't see that view.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Hello and thanks for downloading Outspoken with White and Jordan, the daily podcast which brings you the very best of our TalkSport show. Today, myself and Simon look back at last night's Premier League action as Brentford secured the bragging rights over rivals Fulham. We discuss Conor Benn following his interview with Piers Morgan on Talk TV. Plus, Frank Warren gives us the latest on the negotiations for a world heavyweight unification fight between Tyson Fury and Oleksandr Usyk. I'll tell you what's dragging on as well. While Brentford are doing so well on the pitch, they win last night 3-2 over Fulham, and they are doing brilliantly. Takes them up to 9th, 3 points off 6th place Newcastle, 4 points off 5th place Liverpool with a game in hand. In fact, Brentford remain as only one of 3 teams in the top 5 European leagues to be undefeated in 2023. While that's all going on, Simon,
yep,
and while Ivan Toney is still playing a big part on the pitch, the situation regarding the 262 breaches of betting rules for which he has been charged by the FA rumbles on. Now, last week it came out in the media that he's admitted some of the charges, but he was unhappy at how information like that had been leaked. So, I mean, if you're Fulham, if you're in and around Brentford, you're thinking, well, hang on, should he be playing at the moment?
Well, there's a process, and you have to follow the process. And if the FA, in their infinite wisdom, which means none, are taking an inordinate amount of time to deal with this, because let's not forget, this has been going on since the middle, sort of the first quarter of last year.
Right.
And found its way to the surface,
yeah,
just before the World Cup. A lot of supposition was made that potentially he didn't make the World Cup squad because of this. And here we are now in the first quarter of the next year, and they still seem to be in a situation where they haven't made their mind up about exactly what the consequences of his behaviour are. I think it's a slightly weak argument from Fulham fans to want to suggest that the reasons why they lost the game is because Ivan Toney wasn't banned.
Well, the bigger
question is a contributing factor.
The question really would be, should Brentford be reaping the benefits of Toney's performances at the moment, With a potential impending ban for betting still hanging over him?
Well, look, I mean, unless the FA have suddenly decided to have a particular favouritism towards Ivan Toney, I'm assuming that there's a process that they have to follow, and that process is being followed, and the timelines and the investigative stuff to be able to build the case, albeit I don't like the idea that leaks find their way into the public domain, but come on now. They do in every other aspect of life,
yeah,
so I don't think Ivan can be particularly overly concerned about
it. The
courts of public opinion are not going to adjudicate him here. The FA and their buffoonery is going to adjudicate him. But the bottom line is that there is a process. And of course, because he's in the middle of this process,
yeah,
and because ultimately he's pleaded guilty to some of them, people would suggest that the consequent has... Now, if you've got an overall wrapper, they're not going to go, I'll tell you what, we'll judge you for these, right? And these ones that you dispute, we'll get a second hearing. They're going to judge it en masse. So the fact that he is contesting some of them has put a situation... Now, some might say he's gaming the system. Some might say Brentford are playing the system, delaying it. Well, we have football clubs that do that on far bigger issues, don't we? We have football clubs that game the system and delay everything and kick it back into the long grass for 5 years and get lawyers to tie things up. So it's not surprising that an individual and a smaller football club would either do that or not do it. But it's incumbent upon the FA. And I do think, as much as Fulham fans may feel that they're slightly hard done by in this instance, there is a process. It needs to be followed. And if the FA come out and charge this guy and give us... Well, they charge him. If they find him guilty of all the offences that he's pled... Well, he can't find him guilty. He's already pled to them, isn't he? If they go through the process of disciplining him, there must be a rhyme and reason to it. And we assume that there's not. And there's an assumption that this should have been done earlier. And unless there's a good reason for it to have been done earlier, I suspect the FA are just following their process.
Yeah, but the process has taken a while. Here we are. Well, there must be a reason. Yeah, I mean, all credit to Tony. As a footballer, he's doing what he's paid to do. He's on the pitch and he's making a big impact on the field.
Well, let's be honest about it. They've got bugger all else to do, the FA. They've decided they're quite happy to have the independent regulator come again. You've got this village idiot of an FA chairman, or chief executive, Mark Bullingham, putting his hands up saying, independent regulator, good stuff. Aren't you the regulator of the game? What are you guys going to be doing? Oh, you're off on international duty. So you would have thought there would have been a streamlined process, but there never is in these things.
But that's unfair in Bullingham. You're just anti-regulation.
No, it's not unfair in Bullingham. It's absolute degradation of duty. You are the de facto regulator, and for you to be so self-unaware that you're quite happy to welcome an independent regulator, that's your job. Because you're gutless and guileless and can't do it and don't have the structure to do it or the will to want to regulate yourselves in such a way that you're capable of doing the job, you're going to laud and applaud something into the industry that shouldn't be here and is nowhere else in the world of football. But that's one side. The FA probably need to streamline their processes. They probably need to get to the point where there are situations that are done far quicker. But like everything with these things, the moment you wheel in lawyers, we see it in every single sport, they'll take time to get to that process.
It shouldn't take time. And I'll tell you for why, Sammy. You know what's going to happen? Come near the end of the season. Say Brentford, and well played Brentford if they do it, get European football. And Tony's played a major part in them getting that.
These are the rules.
Other boardrooms around the country are going to go, see what Brentford have done?
Yeah, but
Ivan Tony.
But these are the rules. And the rules are there's a due process. And if the clubs, and the because let's get it right, the Premier League are the dog, or the tail that wags the dog. The FA are supposed to be the governing body in this country. They are not. The Premier League run English football to determine what distributions are going to be and then determine how those monies are going to be spent. So it's not a surprise that the Premier League aren't particularly pushing this further forward and making the FA be more effective in what they're doing. But also, we don't know the full extent of how convoluted and complicated this process is.
I mean, 262 breaches.
Yeah, and not all of them accepted. So you can't just have an individual case for 20 that have been accepted, 30 over there that might have a debate over, 200 over there that he contests. We don't actually know.
But the longer it goes on, no wonder some of it's getting leaked to the media. Well, the longer it gets, the longer it's protracted.
Not really, because if the authority that's investigating them is investigating them in a proper fashion, then there shouldn't be any need for any leaks. There's Ivan Tony. Who would leak it? Ivan Tony's agent? Ivan Tony's... No. The people that are inside the building that understand the process and understand what they're investigating, those people shouldn't be able to leak. So with that in mind, whilst I agree with you, it does seem like an inordinate amount of time, and that was my starting position. They started this investigation a year ago. But if you know the FA like I know the FA, then you won't be surprised that it takes this amount of time. But then again, alongside that, if you want to give them some modicum of a pass, you also know that the moment you wheel lawyers into any equation, as we saw with Conor Benn last night, you get yourself into a bit of a state.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Conor Benn, of course, we're speaking to Talk TV's Piers Morgan. What did we learn after all of this? Of course, we all know what happened regards Conor Benn. Anybody who doesn't, where have you been? He was about to fight Chris Eubank Jr. And then it came to light that Conor Benn had failed a drugs test. And the fight was put in serious jeopardy. Was it going to take place? No, it didn't. And since then, Chris Eubank Jr. has gone into the ring again. He lost to Liam Smith, and a whole bunch of circumstances have changed. In the meantime, Conor Benn has been spending most, if not all, of his time trying to prove his innocence. So, Conor Benn in conversation with Piers Morgan. And at the start of this, you're going to hear from Conor Benn's dad, Nigel Benn.
If I ever thought my son was guilty of anything, mate, I'd say, son, I love you. But you know what? You got to deal with this on your own, mate. I'd hang him out to dry. But I was actually in this training camp with him, Piers. I was training with him. The same way I feel that they're dealing with Conor and not these other fighters, is the same way they dealt with me.
Listen, Nigel, I understand your passion. I understand Connor's passion. But I also think if you've gone to all this trouble to draw up this massive dossier of evidence and the British Boxing Board is asking for it, I don't understand how it can be anything but bad for your case if you don't hand it over. I mean, at very least, call their bluff. Say, right, here you are. Get them to respond to it. I don't know why, if I was in your position, that's what I would do.
I still don't think that proves my innocence at all. I've just been cleared by the organisation, which the test in which I failed.
I don't understand why you wouldn't want to counter that agenda by making public this dossier.
Because I don't know what it is they got in for me. I don't know what vendetta it is.
Yeah,
they
but it's like saying you're accused of killing someone.
Okay, but I've been proven innocent by the authorities that ran that test.
I wouldn't say you've been proven innocent. They just couldn't.
Well, just give me the clear. They've said you're.
They said there was no conclusive evidence. Just to be clear, exactly what they said, right? It's not an absolutely unequivocal. You're definitely innocent, but it's certainly not unhelpful.
I do agree with you. I don't know what the legal side of it, but yeah, me personally, I know I love my son, you know, and I know for a fact that he's an innocent man.
I don't know what they're not getting there, Simon. Mm. Piers Morgan's absolutely right.
He is.
He's querying why the family hadn't released this 270-page dossier put together by Conor Benn's team, which they say proves Conor's innocent. Make the damn thing public.
Yep.
Why wouldn't you if you're protesting his innocence?
Yeah. Well, there's the question, isn't it? I mean, I think on the whole, Piers Morgan did the interview in a fashion that most people would have wanted to see. Yes, it could have been grittier. Yes, it could have been stronger. And yes, he could have doubled down with Conor on really trying to get underneath the reasons why he will not go to the British Boxing Board of Control. His answer was because they can do one. That was his answer.
Yeah.
Right. And that's not logical. If you want to, first of all, for Conor, he wasn't exonerated by the WBC. They don't have a position to exonerate anybody. They're not the governing body of a sport. They're a sanctioning body. So what they say is almost irrelevant. What they did was they became a witness for the defence. They provided him with an alternate version because the 270-page report that his lawyers and the individual experts they brought in has produced was about VADA testing. And they didn't go with that. Now, it might be they didn't go with that because it's WBC testing and there may be that they felt there were some issues with their own testing. We've yet to hear that or see that. But what they did was they gave him an alternate explanation, which he doesn't want to have. So there's such an irony. He doesn't want this alternate explanation. But it's very clear to anybody that sat and listened to that interview. The tragedy of it is that Conor, first of all, is being guided by his lawyers. And I wonder what their end game is. Their end game is not to get him cleared through the processes that are available to most sportsmen, which is going through the governing body. Their end game seems to have some sort of compensatory end game attached to it, which is about finances, which is about suing people for things that you've lost. And of course, Conor alludes to the lack of the revenue that he'd have lost from the Chris Eubank fight and reputational damage.
Right.
Well, in order to have reputational damage, you have to exhaust all the possibilities. And clearly the possibilities that you have with this is you stand in front of the British Boxing Board of Control, you go through their process. If you feel that their process is prejudiced in any shape or form and you get an outcome that you don't like, you go to the Court of Arbitration Sport. That's what you do. You don't go to a sanctioning body round the side to give yourself some form of credence. Tragically for me, listening to that interview, I saw a very conflicted young man. I don't think he was particularly helped by his father coming on. I don't understand, and this is a very sort of controversial subject, I don't understand someone that's in this kind of mental condition. And if my son was in this mental condition, I'm not sure I'd be in Australia. I think I'd be with him, making sure that he was looked after.
Yeah.
So all of it didn't add up to me. And I listened to it, and Piers pushed on it. He pushed on as much as he possibly could, but there's so much devil in the detail.
Well, this is the thing. I alluded to this at the top of the show. Since the interview was broadcast, this Twitter spat has developed between Eubank Jr. and Conor Benn. Now, I'm going to put this to you, Simon. Eubank Jr. says this. I was 99% sure that Conor was a cheat. But after watching that interview with Piers Morgan, now I'm 100% sure. Imagine failing two drugs tests and then trying to play the victim. The ball's on this kid, or should I say, the egg's on him. And we'll see what he's doing with that. Do you think Eubank Jr. is spot on with what he's saying there.
I think there's probably a lot in that conversation between the two of them. When Conor Benn comes back and says, you tried to get another £1 million out of me, there was a conversation going on, because we know there was a conversation going on suggesting that you can fight with this particular substance, because the medical advice that Cully Sauerland came in here and said he'd given to his fighter suggested that he could. And I bet you Eubank's gone back into the equation and gone, I tell you what, given the circumstances that I now see myself in, I'll have an extra £1 million in this fight. I wouldn't be surprised if that conversation was had. So I don't think none of them,
yeah.
Nobody in this conversation, nobody has covered themselves in glory. Not the fighters,
yeah.
Certainly not the promoters, and not the British Boxing Board of Control. The British Boxing Board of Control have been pushed around. And when you sit there and you see a failed test, and of course you've got two failed tests, and then you've got UCAD tests being passed. But of course what people forget to drop in the conversation is timing is everything. When you have substances in your body, you can time tests to be able to overcome the fact that they were once there and they're no longer again there, then you can start again. The bottom line is, and Pierre tried to drill down on it, I didn't think he went hard enough, but you can only go so far, which was, there is no logic in this world that you can put in front of me, Connor, to tell us, besides the fact you don't like Robert Smith and what happened to your father 30 years ago is an irrelevance. What's the agenda? What is the agenda that you are talking about that the governing body of this sport has against you? What's the agenda? What precisely?
Yeah.
Not what you think they can go and do one.
Yeah.
If you want to defend yourself and you want to get yourself in a situation where you are exonerated, which you are not by the WBC, you have to go through the proper process. And he doesn't want to.
I don't want to be cruel to Connor here, because I like him, him.
He's been badly advised.
We know. Jim. I was just about to
he's
say
been
that.
Badly advised.
But the thing is this, Simon, if ever mud sticks here, right?
He's being badly advised. To do the Piers Morgan show, look, I understand why Talk TV want it, right? Piers Morgan's got no viewers. Big shows like that will give him some credibility and give him some reach, right? I get that, right? And I understand why it landed there. It should have landed here. It should have landed in this space, because we know what we're talking about without having to have research.
I don't think Connor would fancy.
Well, maybe
going
he wouldn't.
On with you.
But then you'd get more substance from it. But then you look at it and say, what is the thinking? Because he couldn't. If you're going to send this boy onto a show to talk about things, the one subject's going to come up. Why were you going to British Boxing Board of Control? He had to have been briefed. He had to have a shtick to answer that. He had no shtick. All his shtick was, they can do one. That was his answer. Why should I have to? Why should I have to deal with them? Why should I have to answer to them? Because they're the licensing body of this country. And if you want to get rid of this, and if you really want to get rid of it, as unfair as it may be in your eyes, then go that mile. Go through their process. I've had to do it. I'll get dragged. I was a multi-millionaire football club chairman. I got dragged in front of the FA for something I wrote in the newspapers. And by Christ, I resented it. And I thought, who are you people? Who are you people to drag me in front of it? I fund a football club and give people like you a job. Who are you to drag me in front of you?
So you fought it head on.
So I fought it head on.
You're right at the throat.
And
right.
If I was okay. Conor Benn, because this is not now about exonerating him. This is about a compensation culture. And the moment you wheel lawyers into a situation, they're trying to find a way around getting Conor to a position where economically he does not get impacted.
But instead of the situation becoming clearer, the waters have become muddier.
It's clear. It's not become muddier. Conor Benn does not want to put himself in the hands of the governing board. And the reasons for that are that he doesn't believe in his mind's eye. He's going to get a fair outcome. There's no logical progression. It's really simple. Manchester City did it with UEFA. They went to what they considered to be their kangaroo court. They went through their process and they went to the Court of Arbitration of Sport. If Conor Benn wants to do it properly, he would take it to the British Boxing Board of Control. He would leak the 270-page report that he's produced, which is all about VAR equipment. And the reason why they don't want to is because it doesn't suit them, Jim. It doesn't suit them to do it. Otherwise, they'd be doing it. They'd be singing like a canary. And so with that in mind, he doesn't want to be in front of the Boris, because he knows what the outcome is. He knows that the British Boxing Board of Control have inserted a very, very strict guideline, strict liability. Whatever you've got in your body, you have to be able to explain, and that's the point he can't overcome.
Do you think Conor Benn fights again in this country?
Not until he explains himself to the British Boxing Board of Control. Now, if they ever see change and decide that all of a sudden they're going to be terrified and their knees are going to knock about this potential case, when I'm assuming if they're a proper organisation, they've got professional liability insurance.
Yeah.
Right? They have got to fight their cause. I genuinely don't believe, and I really sat there watching Conor Benn thinking, you're somebody that's trying to please your father.
Yeah.
You look like somebody, a young man that's lost in this world.
Yeah. I don't know about your phone, but my phone's gone crazy with messages. You're probably the same. Conor Benn, if you're going to prove your innocence, then prove it.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Frank Warren joins us live, top promoter, of course. Frank, good morning to you. Please tell us you're more the wiser as to the venue for this.
Morning, Jim.
Morning.
Morning, Simon. Morning, Frank. We're still none the wiser. We're still waiting for it to be done. And it's all coming to a head, but it's not done yet. That's where we're at.
I mean, Frank, obviously it's screaming out for us to ask you what is holding it up. So why is there the hold up in this? The two of them want to scrap. They want the fight to be on. Everybody in the world of boxing wants to see it. So where is the hold up coming from?
Well, I'm not going to go into that, Jim, on the air till we get this resolved one way or another. If we don't get it resolved, then obviously it become quite apparent. And if we do, then it's not an issue. But I'm not going to be discussing that when I've not even got to the stage with the two fighters as to, you know, trying to get it finalised. And that's all I'm trying to do. And that's all I'm focused on. I mean, I'm not going to be negotiating through the radio or anyone for that matter.
No, I understand that. But we are generally bemused. I mean...
So am I. So am I. Join the club.
Is the purse split agreed?
I'm not going to go through it, Jim.
Well, that's a no then, isn't it?
Well, that's what you're saying, but I'm not going to go through it. And the situation is quite simple. You need the agreement of both the boxers to make it happen. At the moment, we haven't got that, so that's where we're at.
But, I mean, the thing that's going around, Frank, and I know you don't want to speak to it, but I'm going to ask you anyway, is that if this were to happen in Wembley, which obviously diminishes the financial returns of the fight from the Middle East, and if the Middle East is off the table now, the Wembley is the major option. But the argument then becomes, from what I understand, is that Tyson becomes the A side of the equation, and so the purse distribution should be in his favour. I'm not asking you for percentages, right? Because that's you breaching the nature of a commercial agreement that you've yet to agree. But would that be in the territory of being half right that Tyson would suggest in this conversation, I should be getting a bigger share of the distribution?
Well, I think that is a fair observation, and he is at the end of the day, he's the guy that has sold two football stadiums out in his last two fights.
Isn't that just because of geography? Isn't that just because we have a country that lends itself to filling stadiums, whether it's Carl Froch or whether it's the Manchester Arena for a domestic fight between Liam Smith and Chris Eubank, or whether it's a super heavyweight fight with Dillian White, which wasn't much of a fight, it lends itself to that sort of equation. And you've got one opportunity to have an undisputed fight. Surely Tyson, who told everybody this time last year, slightly past this time last year, he wasn't going to fight again. If he wants undisputed and one of the stumbling blocks is the distribution, why wouldn't you just make it a 50-50 fight and get over it?
Well, you know, there's more to it than that. But the situation is that's what we're working on. I hear what you're saying. However, you know, you're saying, you know, fighters sell out, you know, Manchester, which is for Conor, Ben or Eubanks, it's the first time to my knowledge they've sold anywhere out.
Well, Calum Brook sold out as well, didn't it?
Sorry?
Yeah, Calum Brook sold out as well.
But it's a fight that took, how many years did that take to make?
Everybody gets the opportunity to put their best foot forward, and we listen to a lot from Tyson Fury about what he will do and what he won't do. And I didn't think that there was, everyone's got to get paid. It's a professional sport. I'm not naive or stupid. But yeah, we've now listened to it for a period of time, and it's getting to the point where it's getting a little bit wearing. Either Tyson Fury wants to unify this division, or he doesn't, or it's just simply all about money. It's not about the credibility of what he's actually going to do, and we're not going to see Undisputed.
Well, I'm hoping we will. But at the end of the day, we're working hard to make it happen. I mean, with the greatest respect, I mean, I didn't ring you to do, ring TalkSport or ring you guys to do an interview today about it. I mean, you've rang me. So, courtesy, I'm telling you where we are. But I'm not going to be, conducting the negotiations and tell you where I am. At the moment, they're confidential between the two parties. But it's a fact of life. It's got to, I would say, I keep saying we're in a couple of days, we'll have an answer. It's not going to go past the end of this week, that's for sure, because we're the proposed date is the 29th of April, and we have to clarify, you know, we have to contract with the venue and so forth to make it happen. So there will be a
But do you think it helps the fight for it? Let me ask you a different way then, because I know that you don't want to conduct it. I know we phoned you, but it cuts both ways. You'll come on the air when you want to promote something, so we'll come on the air when we want some content. It's the way it works. You know that. But if you're looking at the situation, Usyk comes into the ring as a equal bringer of belts. Do you think it helps the equation if you put this extra layer of negotiation into it, that there's not going to be an equitable distribution? Do you think that helps make the fight?
I think at the end of the day, we're dealing with professional people, and Usyk himself, we don't deal direct with the fighter, but his two representatives are very smart guys.
Yep.
And they're doing their best, and we're doing our best to try and make this happen. And that's all we can do. At the end of the day, I can't force Usyk to fight. I can't force Tyson to fight. That's their choice. They're the guys getting in the ring. And at the end of the day, we're either going to make this happen or not. We want it to happen. Everybody wants to see it. No one more than me wants to see it. But we are where we are.
So what breaks it down then, Frank? Is it venue now, or is it simply economics? Is it the amount of money?
The only place we can put this on now
is Wembley.
Is the UK.
Right.
And so the UK, and to put it on at the UK, is the reason to put it on. You couldn't put it on for obvious reasons, yep, in the Ukraine. For
obvious reasons, yeah. We can't do it in Saudi, in the Middle East.
And Saudi, there's nothing going to happen there until the end of the year, if indeed it does then. And that's it. So it go on here, and the reason it go on here, because obviously, as you mentioned earlier, the British public turn out for it, and they certainly turn out for Tyson in big numbers, as they've done for quite a while now. And that's
but you were very bullish, Frank, weren't you? You were very bullish in a sort of qualified way, April 29th, right? So what's really changed? I think we all felt that there was a possibility that the Middle Eastern guys would drop out for a variety of different reasons. The Qataris were never really at the table, although they came in, had a little look-see and see what it would cost, right? So we all knew this was going to drop away. So we all knew it was going to land in Wembley. We all, you know, because you're an expert in this area, know what the quantum of money is going to be generated at Wembley. What really, besides monetary distribution, is stopping this fight from happening?
Getting the final agreement between all the parties.
So who's been? I mean, Frank.
Look, Jim, and Tim. Let me just tell you. I mean, what you're doing? You're asking me the same question in a variety of ways.
Well, what we do know, Frank, is that you said for the first time this morning, if it's not agreed by the end of this week, the fight's off, right?
Well, there you are. You've got a bit of news. You've got a bit of exclusive.
Yeah, but Frank, the reason that we are talking about this, we don't want to waste any time, not even 1 minute on this show of the 3 hours that we've got. And at the moment, we're going round and round in circles. The most important people in all of this are the boxing public who listen to this show. And they're looking at it thinking, these promoters aren't up to much, aren't they? They can't even get an agreement about money. And this is a fight we all want to watch.
Jim,
these bungling fools behind the scenes, they're as greedy as we thought they were.
Who's greedy?
Well, that's what it comes down to.
No, well, explain to me, who's greedy? Who are you saying is greedy?
Well, obviously the boxing public, Frank, are looking at it thinking, well, they will not. Frank's lot won't budge because they want X. Usyk's lot won't budge because they want Y. And the two of them, obviously, until one of them concedes a bit of ground, this damn thing's not going to happen. And by the sounds of it, you, as much as the Usyk camp, don't want to concede an inch.
Me? I don't. I can only. I have a pot, and out of that pot, I can only pay what's in it, and that's the end of it. And if it's not enough money, then it won't happen. And that's the end of it.
But the fact we're running rolling a business. In money,
at the
Frank.
End, at the end of the day, we're running a business, Jim. And like you, when you get your agent in to sort your contract out with TalkSport, you'll ask for your money and you'll negotiate and eventually hopefully do a deal to increase your money. And that's what everybody wants. Everybody wants more money. But it's how you generate more money.
And of course, and we all understand that, Frank. And everyone understands that the bigger the quantum, they're professional fighters. The challenge is that everybody piles in on Hearn when the Fury-Joshua fight doesn't get made. Everyone piles on everybody else. Everyone thinks, a lot of people think that you get an easy ride when you come on here because we all like you, right? And I can't have that too often because I don't understand, again, and I know you say we're going around it the same way and trying to get the same answer, right? The bottom line is it's about money. You know that the Wembley fight is worth 60, 70 million quid. There's a distribution issue. If this is a genuine fight and people want to have it, it tells me they don't want to have this fight. It tells me that you might as well scrap it and move on with getting an interim fight and maybe come back round to the Middle East if they're both lucky enough to have their belts in 6 months' time and neither one of them gets knocked out by someone else. You reconvene at the end of the year when the Middle Eastern guys are back on the table. Why don't we peel, get off the pot?
Well, that may happen. That may happen.
So who would he fight if he doesn't fight?
I didn't expect to be where we are right now. We are working hard to make it happen. There are unknowns. The unknowns are, we know what the gate is and we feel we'll sell it out. The unknowns are what it would generate on pay-per-view in America and the UK. They are the unknowns because no one knows what they are until after the show. And they're a situation where fighters and people want guarantees, and sometimes it just doesn't.
Well, the fight's only worth what it's worth, Frank, isn't it?
I agree,
and that's it. So the two fighters have got to get their head around the reality of it's worth what it's worth. If you get 1.5 million pay per views around the world, and if you get 94,000 people in the stadium spending 15 million quid, and you get StubHub and a bunch of people to punch up another 10 million quid, that's the scale of the fight, isn't it? So then it comes down
we don't do StubHub
or whatever, Frank, or an alternative, then you know what I mean. Right, an alternative opportunity to generate some commercial revenue. It has a scale, so it says to me that the appetite that we've all had our you know, whistles wetted around the idea that we're going to see an undisputed. And the reasons why we drag you back on is because you're the gatekeeper to some extent, and to get you to a position where we can get some sort of idea. Because I watch boxing, you know, I'm very interested in it. You know, I'm probably going to get involved in it, and I get frustrated that we do a lot of talking in this sport and not a lot of outcomes.
Well, no, I mean, it happens. Look, sometimes things don't happen. It's no different when you was involved with Crystal Palace. You'd be looking to buy a player and it could go on for ages, the negotiations, and it doesn't happen. Or somebody else comes in. It happened at Arsenal when we were going to buy the guy who went to Chelsea. Things happen.
But I wouldn't have a player saying to me, I want to sign for me. And then most of the time, Frank, I wouldn't have a player saying he wanted to sign for me. We got Tyson Fury telling us endlessly he's undisputed and the best in the division. You've got a opportunity to make it. So now we're going to horse trade over 10 million quid in a 60 million pound fight. That's what it feels like. And I just don't think it's a great look. And you might not like that analogy. And you might think it's unfair. And you might not like being pulled on the radio when we've called you. But I just think that we're sitting there going April 29th for an undisputed fight. We've had Tyson Fury play hide and seek with himself last year and bring himself back into the situation, fighting Derek Chisora, which wasn't a fight that anyone particularly wanted to see. And I'm sure you'll say we sold out, but I still don't think it was a particularly they wanted to see it. And we want to see Fury fight someone legit. So if he's not going to fight, if he doesn't fight Usyk, who's he fighting, Frank? Who's on the option? Wilder again?
I'm not even looking. I'm not even there with that. What we're trying to do is to make it happen. We're not looking there. And as you know, and again, you hit the nail on the head, which is part of the negotiations and things that are said. You know, nobody wanted to see Chisora. That was a fallback position for us. We didn't particularly want it. But 60,000 people bought the tickets to see Tyson Fury. Didn't want to see Chisora, to see Tyson Fury.
Of course.
That's his box office appeal.
You see, Frank, this is what we're getting now. There's Leon, big boxing fan. Listening to Frank this morning with you guys doesn't sound like Fury Usyk will go ahead. There's Michael. I'm listening to Frank Warren this morning. It's clear Fury Usyk fight isn't going to happen. This is now so boring. These are boxing fans, Frank. So if it's going to be called off at the end of the week because you can't get an agreement, what's it going to take to get the agreement before the end of this week? You're going to have to concede some ground, presumably, and so will Usyk's camp. Is that right?
But for it to get it agreed, the participants will have to agree. At the end of the day, it's not about the camps having to agree. It's the two fighters have to agree. They're getting in the ring. This is not two kids starting out in boxing. These are the two guys, top of their game. It's for them to agree. And if they agree, then we got it. If we can't agree, then we'll have to move on and try and do it another time.
So it's the two fighters to agree. It's not the promoters to agree.
Of course it's for the fighters. I can't tell the fighter what he should take.
So who's pushing harder than who? Tyson or Usyk?
Jim, I'm not going to go through all that. You're asking me to talk about things that I'm not even going to go with you. I can't emphasise it. So what am I going to do? I'm going to start having a negotiation telling you what's happening behind the scenes before I even can deal with the fighters. It's just not going to happen.
Is the scale of the fight big enough economically for both fighters?
Look, at the end of the day, you said something quite relevant to it. And the fact is, there's a pot, and at the end of the day, the pot is what it is.
Is that big enough for both fighters?
There's no money coming from Saudi Arabia, for that matter, anywhere else to stage this fight. So whatever it generates is what it generates, and that's what it's worth.
But you know what it's worth, Frank, right? And in the broadest terms, right, you can forecast because you've got an educated eye and you've been around this game long enough, and you know what the numbers are going to be, right? So is the scale of this fight big enough for even one of these fighters? Put aside the distribution for this argument for one moment, because I'm sure that's an argument that we don't need to have right now. But the point is the scale. Once upon a time, it's a £150 million fight potentially because of the facility fee in Saudi. That's gone, right? So now it comes to what was the poor relation economically, which is Wembley, which makes it a £60, £70 million fight at its very top end. Is that big enough for these two boys?
Well, I would hope it was. Hope it would be.
So then it comes down to the next part of the question, which you won't like, is this distribution argument, isn't it? Tyson wants more out of the equation. So I would say to you that Tyson's the problem in this, wouldn't you? You can't, because you're his promoter.
No, I will not be saying that. You know, it is what it is.
So if they agree 50-50, would this fight happen, Frank?
With the greatest respect, what do you actually expect me to sell you? What do you expect me to say? It is what it is. I can't. I am not.
I'm trying to polish a turd of a conversation and make it shine a little bit.
Well, you better get a load of Mr. Sheen out then. I mean, what do I mean to say to you? I will know where we are with this, but I hope by the end, and I believe by the end of the week, and I'm hoping we get it done, because no one wants to see this fight more than me. I promise you. Because you know why? No one's ever promoted the four belts. It's never happened. Be the first time, so it'll be a bit of a history-making thing. It'll be great. I believe Tyson wins the fight. I believe that's his legacy and so forth. I want it, but I can't force people into a situation unless they're comfortable. And if they're not comfortable, they're not going to be mentally right for the fight. And I wouldn't do that.
Why don't you just have an arm wrestling contest with Igis Klimas of their camp, and we'll see who comes out on top of that?
So I'll do that. I'll beat him in the arm wrestling, and then we'll have to argue about something else.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.